If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Standing by, over. Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting from the Christmas party at Nick's Place. Well, it's great to be out here. I thought Sean was going to die. I thought intern Sean, I thought he was going to pass
away. He was competing above his weight class.
Yeah, Granato put that perfectly. Like, that was the heavyweight division. He's probably, like, what, a bantamweight?
Yes. Yeah. I got excited.
Featherweight.
You texted the group
Whatever.
Chat.
Whatever.
I thought you got Mapes in there for a second.
You thought it was Mapes?
I thought it was Mapes for a second. I walked in, I was disappointed.
You thought
no
that
offense
Sean,
to intern Sean
was Mapes?
You said Sean. You said Sean was doing the eggnog.
Oh, yeah.
There's two Seans. They're standing right next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a mismatch.
It was.
That was like Anthony Joshua fighting Jake Paul.
Oh, yeah. Great fight on Friday.
You're lucky, Sean, you didn't break your jaw in two places. That was a victory. So did Big C win it officially?
I think so.
Because the other dude
Big
threw
C won.
Up?
Yeah.
Is that why he has a bow on his head?
No, that was from a different game they played.
Oh, okay. Big C is a Hall of Famer in these games. You win everything. Didn't you want a pit a couple of years ago? You won the how many eggnog chugging contests have you won now? This was the first one? What else have you won? You won that? You won the grill. That would be I don't know if anybody wins there. Maybe you. Everybody wins. I don't know about that. Okay, all right. So you're going out on top. You ever doing it
undefeated.
Again?
Undefeated.
There you go.
What would it cost to get you in the eggnog contest next year?
A lot of money.
A lot of money?
Yeah, I don't like dairy.
That's true.
Like I can eat cheese and stuff, but yes. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Mabe said $500.
Well, he upped it to $1,000 after getting here.
Yeah, well, when he saw the size of the eggnog.
It's one thing to participate in it.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I could do what Sean did and take a couple sips and be done.
Yeah.
But if to drink half of it,
yeah,
like that would cost a few $100. I
That's
think
fair.
Is right.
That's
just
fair.
A few hundred.
Yeah,
I'll chip in for that.
Yeah, I'm very cheap.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a very expensive date.
Yeah. I will chip in for that. I think Joe's on board.
You would chip in for me to drink eggnog for a few $100?
If it's just a couple $100, I would absolutely.
If you're
chip
gonna
in.
If you're gonna compete in it and like actually try to win.
Yeah, you can't pull an intern shot and take two sips.
Look, I think he was trying, to be fair.
I'm just talking about the result.
Yeah, the result was poor. That was the result was
low key the worst part of his result is he didn't even finish the donut.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, he ate half the donut and then took two sips.
That's tough.
I do like his shirt, though. That shirt's awesome.
It is a good shirt. It is a good shirt.
It's an awesome shirt. How'd the other games go this morning? I was listening in.
They were pretty good. The Rapid one was funny.
What was it? Say the full name.
Rapid before you tap it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That was Courtney's idea with the name?
Yep. Yeah,
we have to put that off on a female coworker. I don't think a male can name that game.
No, Granato can get away with it.
Well, okay, Granato could
get away with
good
anything.
Point.
No, they were good. It was we saw some nasty people eat some nasty stuff, some clam juice.
Yeah,
I heard about that.
A habanero.
Yeah, yep, a habanero.
So was that by design?
It was roulette.
Oh.
So it was like you pull a cup, one had a gift card, one had something nasty in it.
Poor guy.
So, yeah, it's tough. The clam juice one was the one that...
Did you partake at all?
No.
Why not?
I mean, I've been drinking since, like, I got here. But, you know. Look, it's been a long week. Hey, don't call me soft.
Soft.
That's garbage.
Soft.
That's garbage.
It's Joe Soft, 713-780.
You know the text line's going to say yes.
HRP listener line, 713-780.
You know they're going to say yes. WFT. Soft.
They're saying you're soft, Joe.
I know. I know they're going to.
Texans won yesterday against the Raiders.
Kind of.
Yeah, they won.
What do you mean, kind of?
Kind of.
It says a W.
Eh.
Win.
Okay, here's my thing on this. Okay. I don't believe in ugly wins. People are going to be ticked off whenever I say that. I don't believe in ugly wins. It's a binary result. It's like being pregnant or not being pregnant.
Okay.
It's like landing the plane or not landing the plane. There is winning. There is losing.
I don't know if landing a plane is binary.
You
can land the plane but still take some damage.
It's survive or die. What do you mean? What do you mean it's not binary?
You can contact down. You can contact down, make some, get some damage, and still land the plane.
I mean, you can land a plane in the Hudson.
Yeah, but he survived. It's survive or die.
Yeah, but
that's
you landed in the wrong spot.
You guys are taking liberties to the survive die pass.
We are.
That was solely taking birds through the propeller and going down in the Hudson.
Whenever,
they survived, but it was an ugly trip.
Whenever you're on a plane, there is dying and there is living.
Yes.
Those are the only two results I care about.
Sure. The Texans went down in the Hudson, though, and survived.
Okay. Whenever you're pregnant, you either are pregnant or you're not pregnant.
That's true.
I don't know. They have a TLC show that says otherwise. But
whenever you are playing a football game and you're playing any sort of game, there are two results. There's actually the tie.
Yeah.
But there is winning.
Yes.
There is losing. Whenever you listen to these coaches talk all week long, they say all we need to do is win. That is the ultimate goal. And, yes, you're gonna play good some days. You're going to play bad some days. And you're always going to chase perfection, and you're never going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Always going to chase perfection. You're never going to be perfect. There's no such thing in my mind as an ugly win. I don't believe in ugly wins.
Look, a win is a win. But it was ugly.
No, I disagree.
No, it's good they won.
Show me the ugly win column.
You're right. There's no ugly win column, but my eyeballs.
Show me the pretty loss column.
Tell me ugly is what I saw.
That result that you, like the ugly win type of thing, that is your perception on what you think of the Texans going forward. That is what you think of they played. But at the end of the day, you're either going to win, you're going to lose, or you're going to tie. However you get there really doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. All that matters is you make the playoffs, you get wins.
Yes.
And they got the win. It just was not – they didn't get any style points out of it.
Didn't cover.
But why does that matter is the point. That's not real. That's only real in your – like the figment of your imagination.
No, you're right. You're right. Because they can go out next week and they can play the Chargers and they can win by three touchdowns and it's still the same exact result, right?
Yes.
So it doesn't really matter. But it still wasn't a
– It changes your opinion of them. It changes your perception of them.
Yes.
It changes your confidence in them.
Mm-hmm.
It changes what you think of them going forward potentially. But at the end of the day, the goal for them last week and in yesterday's game was to win the game.
And they did that.
It's the Herm Edwards. We play to win the game. And they won the game. Now, was it a beautiful style of play?
No.
Was it this, like, great performance? No, it was none of those things. So, like – That's just why I don't believe in the ugly wins. Now, we'll also slice and dice like they didn't play well.
Yeah.
Now, here's one thing I want to throw at you real quick.
Okay.
Actually, we'll take this to break. 713-780-3776. Broadcasting live, Nick's Place, the ESPN 97.5 Christmas party. Is this the pinnacle of Texans history? This is the first time in Texans history. And look, there's 18 games. There's 18 weeks now, 17 games. One more than most of the Texans history. But this is the first time in Texans history that they've won 10 straight games, or 10 games in three straight years. They've also, the last 2 years, have reached the furthest point the Houston Texans have ever been in
mm-hmm.
in franchise history. So I make the claim, and you guys can think about it for a couple of minutes, 713-780-3776. Is this the pinnacle of Texans history? All right, you can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. What kind of games we have in store here, Joe?
I don't know.
All the games have been used?
I think the games might have been used.
Oh, okay. But you can watch us twitch.tv/ESPN975 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at George George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Bradham. Is this the pinnacle of Texans history in their franchise? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN975 and 97.9 HD2. Football is in full swing, and however you like to get in on the action, you can do it on Underdog right now in Texas. This season, you can make team picks and player picks. Just download the Underdog app, sign up, and you'll get $75 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Using Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite team will win or if your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Plus, with Underdog's ultra-fast payouts, you can get your profits in a snap. So download the Underdog app today. Use promo code KILLERB to score $75 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Player picks, team picks, all on.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall, what's that, the most famous reindeer of all? Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, had a very shiny nose.
This is Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe at Nick's Place, the Christmas party. Ghost of YouTube Keith. I heard Granato say you are up next, but I figured it was a drunken mistake. No.
Nope.
It is real.
We're right here.
And it is spectacular. Always great to be out here at Nick's Place. So Joe, is this the pinnacle of the Houston Texans franchise? 10 wins, 3 straight years now.
Yeah. In the regular season only?
However you want to define it.
I hope it's not. Because it's great to have, like...
Let me rephrase. Okay. I'm talking about to this point.
Yeah. To this point,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, hopefully this isn't the pinnacle. Hopefully the Texans have a conference championship in their future. No, I meant up to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. 3 straight years, 10-plus wins. You're going back to the playoffs. Expectations are you're going to win a playoff game. Probably not going to win the AFC South again. That's fine. But you keep winning these games. And the extra game doesn't matter to me because you've done it before. That extra game has arrived. So, yeah, I think in terms of regular season success, this is the pinnacle. And the best part is that it can keep going, is that you can get 10 wins next year. Like, it doesn't have to end.
I don't like how you're putting the regular season caveat on it, though. I think it makes it an easy cop-out, easy answer to say, yes, it is the regular season pinnacle. I'm not talking about regular season. I'm talking about in the history of the organization, the entire franchise history that began in 2002 whenever Bob McNair was awarded another expansion team in the NFL. I'm talking about how you felt about them in the entire history of the organization. Because you look at the Astros had the golden era. That is the pinnacle of the Houston Astros franchise to date. The Rockets had the back-to-back titles. That is the pinnacle of the Rockets organization to date. Mm-hmm. What is the pinnacle of the Houston Texans organization to date, and are we living it?
I think we are. The reason why I put the regular season caveat is because I do think if in 4 weeks the first round of the playoffs doesn't go the way you want, your answer is going to be a bit different, right? If they lose in the first round, I don't think we'd feel as good as we do right now in the moment.
Yeah, but it shouldn't change the pinnacle.
I think if you lose in the first round of the playoffs as a wild card team.
But if you're currently here and you lose in the wild card, you drop. But the peak was still here.
Yes. It just, I feel like there's still so much more to go. It is the pinnacle. It is the pinnacle of the Houston Texans franchise right now.
All right, Brian, I can sense some pushback on your behalf.
I can't say that we're at the pinnacle until we see what the playoffs happens at the playoffs.
I disagree.
But to Joe's point, if they go out and, let's say, hypothetically get blown out in the wild card round, then I would still put 2011 and 2012 where they hit their highest ever regular season win total 12.
Then they're currently not at their pinnacle, is your answer.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can't say they reached their pinnacle until I see what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think I'm there.
You're good with this right now? That this is the pinnacle?
No. You keep making it seem like they're not going to get better than this.
No,
things can change.
Yeah, of course.
Things are going to happen in the future that are going to alter your opinion of them, but right now you have a certain opinion of where this franchise is at. On this little line that you create in your imagination of how high, how low are they. And, of course, if they lose out and then lose in the wild card, our feeling in 3 weeks from where they are now is going to decline.
Sure.
That's the process of how you feel about anything, quite frankly, and how you look at anything. But it's also going to continue. There are events in the future that are going to happen that are going to impact our view of the pinnacle. But right now, I'd argue that it is. I mean, this is the first time in franchise history that you've had double-digit wins in 3 straight years. Mm-hmm. Also, the last 2 years, you have reached the furthest you have gone in the playoffs. So, you've had some better regular seasons than the Texans have had. You won 11 games in 18. You won 12 games in 2012. But you didn't put the sustained body of work together. You didn't put the sustained double-digit wins three straight years. It's only the second time in franchise history where they've reached the divisional round in back-to-back seasons. I think it's very clearly the peak.
Yeah, I mean,
not that it's going to forever be.
No, you're right. Yeah, I think to Brian's point, because there are seasons where you have these higher win totals, it does help that. But to your point, three straight years with double-digit wins, honestly, for any franchise, is an accomplishment. Like there are very, what, your Chiefs, your Patriots, like your top teams do this. But I honestly, like, as a guess, like, how many times has Jacksonville ever done this? I would guess maybe none is the answer, honestly. So to have three straight years of double-digit wins, it does put you in a category that you should feel very good about.
I don't think anybody feels very good that the franchise is furthest outing in the postseason is the division.
Oh, yeah, not
like,
that.
If we looked at each organization as this mountain range, right, to just continue with the analogy, and the Texans' peak is right now because of how they fared in the last now three seasons, and we'll see what they do, obviously, the rest of the year. Their mountain range compared to a lot of NFL other organizations' mountain ranges are obviously very high. Like, their mountains are taller.
Their blue mountains
are a lot taller than the Houston. There's very few organizations that have a shorter mountain than the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
In fact, the Texans' mountain range is very level.
It's more like a hill.
It's a borderline hill. Yeah, it's borderline. It's the hill country.
Jacksonville did it early in their franchise.
I think I would push back that this is not the pinnacle just by taking it by its very actual definition, your highest actual peak. And to me, the highest actual peak in this sad conversation, because it's all including second round exits, is what was your closest to ever advancing? And to me, Jacoby Jones fumble, TJ Yates, those three picks, they were still pretty close to winning that Baltimore game. To me, that was the closest they ever were to advancing to an AFC championship game. So until further notice, until this team surpasses that point, I would still put 2012, 2011 as your highest.
I mean, it was 13-12 going into the fourth quarter last year at Arrowhead with a real quarterback.
That's true.
It was.
But TJ Yates, bless his heart, not a real quarterback.
And then, what, about five sacks in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, but I would push back and say the closest they ever were was last year.
I think they win that game, but Jacoby Jones doesn't fumble. I mean, they're one play away.
And then also, if you eliminate, like, the result of that game, which team did you feel better about? That team with TJ Yates or last year's Texans team with CJ Stroud? And I'm not calling Stroud like this elite quarterback.
No, I feel better about Stroud, but I feel worse about the opponent, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't think they were going to go into Arrowhead and win.
But they were right there by a point going into the fourth quarter. Maybe if they don't get a couple of personal fouls, they
were right there at halftime against Baltimore.
Special teams wasn't great in that game last year.
2023, and then Baltimore, I mean, including a huge run from Melvin Gordon, crushed him in the fourth quarter.
I forgot about that play. Yeah, it's our conversation last week about D'Amico.
Yeah.
Like, being the best coach in franchise history already. This is a, like, good check in that box for him. To be the first coach to have that.
It's a good check in the box for the resume.
Yes.
For the accolade side of that conversation.
Yeah.
Because, again, I always look at things two different ways. There's the accolade resume.
And there's just the coach.
And then there's the prowess and the caliber of the coach, player, whatever we're debating at the time.
Yeah, but so now you add what we think of him as a coach, plus you're starting to stack up these accolades. And again, I know I'm moving the goalposts a little bit, fully aware of that. I hope this is not anywhere close to the pinnacle of it.
No, well, no one knows. No one wants that.
But the fact that, like, at the moment, I think you're right. Like, now thinking about it more, like, you only have 10 and 12 wins and 11 and 12.
Yeah.
So, and then the following year was four wins, right? 4-5.
That wouldn't impact the peak.
No, but it's just like the hill fell off.
It'd be a cliff.
You rolled down the cliff pretty fastly. this year you've at least done this. So, yeah, I'm fine with saying this is the pinnacle right now.
I really don't think there's an argument against.
I'm trying to find one to make against you, and I really don't have one.
Don't think there's an argument. Now, you could push back and be like, there's more games now, and that would be a good pushback.
No, but see, I think that's the best
counter argument.
I don't know if it is.
It only applies.
I think absolutely.
It only applies to 1 year.
What do you mean? They went 10-7 the last 2 years. They had an extra game to win double digits in each of the last two seasons.
Yeah, but they got there.
And now I make the argument for the other side.
No. But they got there before that final game.
Okay.
So they already checked the box. This year they did. Yeah, this year.
2023 they didn't.
No, it was the last game of the season against the Colts.
Yeah.
So they've gotten the wins before that mark. And also, it's just, I don't know. What are you going to do about that? They used to play, 14 games? Right at one point, so
they played 12. They played 10.
It's hard. It's hard because it's like we can't change that part of the argument. So like I know if you don't want to make that side and you want to use it against the Texans right now, you can. But frankly, it's It's the schedule in front of
them. Yeah, but I think it's a conversation piece, though. You know, you have to, I think, bring it up whenever you're talking about volume stats now that they've changed the schedule. 713-780-ESPN. There's a junkie on the text line saying that, look at CJ's face. He doesn't even look like he wants to be here. I'm over him. Move on. He's not good either.
Jeez.
Let's have the Stroud conversation. What do we think of Stroud yesterday? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live. Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Oh, it's so great to be out at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Oh, you got to get out there this holiday season. Look, they're always taking care of you. Look, maybe it's in January, maybe it's in February, but they're always taking care of their visitors. This weekend, for instance, a little winter wonderland Friday and Saturday, bonfire and s'mores. They always have great things for the kiddos. Live music all day on New Year's Eve. They're having a little New Year's Eve party out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Just an example of how they're always taking care of their visitors. Escape the hustle and bustle, stress, anxiety, whatever's causing you to get some of that stress and anxiety and get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort and leave your troubles behind. Escape the city, enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. They got the open green spaces for you. Wildlife you just don't see in the city. Beautiful nature. You're going to love it out there. Some of the best fishing in Texas, the Two Creeks that run alongside their property, the catch and release pond in the middle of the property. You're going to love your time there. It's just 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Hike their 92 acres of property. Do some kayaking. Play some pickleball. Or just hang out, have a drink. That's at Swamper. Swamper's great spot. They got the glamping for you. They got the cabins, a treehouse. Pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. From now through November, there you can get 40% off all cabin rentals. Also, 20% off nightly RV stays if you got one of those big boys. That's the 40-20 discount, which is perfect for relaxing by the fire, exploring the beautiful outdoors. Book that stay now at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
Come Santa Claus, come Santa Claus, down Santa Claus.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe live from Nick's Place, ESPN 97.5 Christmas Party. Great to see everybody out here. Giving away those green shirts. Those run a little big, by the way.
I noticed, yeah, when I put mine on this morning.
Run a little big.
I was like, all right. Yeah. But, I mean, that's good, though, because I got accused of not caring about people.
Caring about the bigs?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is that?
I didn't get any three X's.
Oh.
So I said, sorry. My bad.
Oh.
So you know.
Who accused you?
My guy, Michael.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fair point.
What do you have
against the three X's?
Nothing.
Well, why did you get three X's?
They're expensive.
Oh, really? Well, it's more cloth.
You get less T-shirts the more three X's you get.
Well, it takes more to make them.
That's true. It's just math.
Yeah, it's just math. 713-780-3776. So the junkie said that he basically hates Stroud. Not good. Wants to be done with him. What'd you make of that performance from Stroud yesterday?
As he said after the game, not good enough. It was not good enough.
Well, it was good enough to win.
Barely. And it wasn't unnecessarily because of him, I would say, from how he played. He just felt largely inaccurate, airmailing throws left and right. It just wasn't.
His mechanics were really sloppy. They kept pointing that out during the broadcast.
Yeah, it wasn't up to par for him.
Who was on the call? Jason McCourty and?
And Charles Davis.
Yes. What do they know about quarterbacking?
They've guarded him.
How do they know about footwork?
I mean, you could see it was Stroud, though. He wasn't stepping into his throws. Now, you could blame that on the pass rush, but he wasn't stepping into his throws early on.
Yeah, I just thought it was just a bad day from Stroud.
It was all arm.
It was. Now, I'm curious if there's something that's going on. I haven't seen anything that from D'Amico today. I know it's weird because we're doing the show so early. I don't even know if they met with the media yet.
They did, too. They did a Zoom meeting, so I'm probably not invited.
That's probably true.
That's a good call.
But yeah. He got his finger taped at one point. In the game, it looked like that got added. So I don't know if he got hurt at some point, like if it's a minor injury. But he was just bad in yesterday's game. Frankly,
I thought he got better as the game went on, but overall, not good. I didn't think he had a very good performance. This speaks to who Stroud is, though. Like Stroud has been an inconsistent quarterback. Like it's the truth. Like, he's been up and down.
Yes.
Especially in the first year of Nick Haley. And look, I don't think that the Haley offense is, like, quarterback friendly. I think it's difficult to really become one with this offense. Now, this point of the year, you'd like it to be, you know, a little bit more consistent performances. Like, I thought he played really well against the Cardinals. I thought he played really well in the games leading up to the concussion. But yesterday, he did not play well. He was largely inaccurate. Here's the one thing that I will say about Stroud, though, that I'm pretty pleased with. I like that even though he played really bad, like, he didn't play good. He played really bad. I think he played bad. He was wildly inaccurate, terrible start to the game, had to move the ball really in spite of him. The one thing that I will give him credit for, that in a bad game, zero turnovers, yep. Zero sacks.
He didn't cost you.
No.
Like, they didn't execute, but wasn't the reason why he didn't have the throw that Geno made, the pick six, which was awful.
They almost had the little Stover fumble, but
yeah.
he dropped it in time.
But, like, he just wasn't – yeah, he was just largely inaccurate in a way that I think is worse than we've seen mostly this season.
He was – I mean, he is an accurate quarterback, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an inaccurate quarterback in his body of work. Yesterday, he was making routine misses. Like, wide-open stuff, missing badly.
Like, big misses.
Yes.
Like, it was very uncharacteristic of him. I don't know if, like, Max Crosby was in his head or what was going
Crosby
on.
Crosby is a freak.
He is.
It's not like he hasn't faced good pass rushers before this week, though.
No.
But Max Crosby's a freak.
No, he's great.
He's one of the probably – like, top three pass rushers in the NFL.
That play he made on Chubb, the chase down tackle.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's still a huge explosive play for the Texans, but talk about a motor.
Yeah, he just goes.
He goes to the max.
I don't.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Killed Dari on that one third down.
See ya. I don't know.
I said it real quietly so people couldn't hear me.
Well, people on
the
radio.
You're still on the radio.
Yeah. Right. We're not just for the people
I
here.
I don't care about the people on the radio. I care about the people I see.
That's what Granada said today.
People that are in front of me.
I said, sorry to the people that are listening. We don't care about you.
Yeah, I kind of forget about
that's
them.
That's the first, yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you think went wrong? Which is bad?
Yeah, I think it was just one of those games where I think there is something to the – I know I was being a snarky jerk, but I think there was something to the footwork. I don't think that – he even talked about it post-game. He said his mechanics, he felt like he got a little bit out of sync, timeliness, wasn't on time, wasn't on schedule, things like that. It was just a bad game. Now, hopefully you just chalk it up to, like, hey, it's a bad game. But it does, like, if you want to have the C.J. Stroud total body of work conversation, he is an inconsistent quarterback. This is why – like, he has a good game, and people get mad at you if you don't call him a top-five quarterback. Like, last week, he had a good game, and we're like, yeah, you know, probably top 10, top 12, somewhere in that range, with the potential to be better, and people lose their mind.
Yeah.
Lose their mind. And then he has a game like this, and if you were to call him a top 10, top 12 quarterback, people are going to lose their mind that you're calling him a top 10, top 12 quarterback. So his inconsistent play, I think, is what is holding him back. Now, if the Texans are going to have, like, this deep run in the playoffs, obviously they need more consistent play from their quarterback. But it does show you, even though it wasn't a good team, even though it was a bad team in the Raiders, it does show you that you can win a game when you get poor quarterback play from C.J. Stroud because your defense is very good and he didn't have a ton of negative plays.
And it honestly reminded me of the three games without Stroud. That's kind of what I felt like I was watching yesterday. I felt like Davis Mills was back at quarterback.
I could see that.
Or like it just early on, it was.
I think Davis Mills was better than what we saw yesterday.
A long neck quarterback ain't ever broke my heart this year, though.
That's true.
3-0.
Well, it would have been nice if we would have got the Denver win. But.
Yeah, I don't blame a backup quarterback for coming into a game. You didn't have a week of game planning. They didn't game plan for you. They can say what all they want. They're like, oh, you know, it's a backup quarterback's job to be prepared at any single moment. Do you really think that Davis Mills is getting as prepared for that game against Denver, which he comes in relief, as the next week when he starts?
Absolutely not.
It's just human nature.
Yeah. You're just also probably not taking a lot of reps at practice.
Yeah, you're not getting first-team reps.
You're not really out there.
Yeah, that's a lie, really.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they're prepared as well as they can be prepared. I believe that. But you're not as prepared being a backup quarterback in a game as you would be to be a starter in the game. And a lot of it's because of what goes on around you. Reps around you, quarterback meetings. Like, they're not sitting there like, hey,
as they look
over Denver, like, hey, here's the Denver pass rush. Like, C.J. Stroud, what plays do you like here? They're not like also, oh, and in case he gets concussed, Davis, what plays do you like? Like, what do you see here?
Yeah.
I give backup quarterbacks a lot of grace in those situations.
Yeah, so my only other thing with CJ with this last game is just, I wish it wasn't against these bad teams that it feels like it keeps happening to. It feels like it goes back to his rookie year, the Jets game, the Panthers game.
That was a good defense, though. It was.
I mean, and the Raiders have been, they're bad, right? But they're not the bottom of the barrel worst team, I think, in the NFL. Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is going to be this dangerous.
I don't know what's happening right now.
The Godfather, John.
I need to get on because I effed up, everybody.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Okay. Courtney put all of this together. Let's have a big hand for Courtney. Huge. She did all of it. Okay, and she does it every year, and she's the best promo person. Unless somebody else wants to hire her, then she sucks. Okay, thank you. Courtney's the best. All your whole team did great. It was unbelievable. Sam really didn't do anything, if you want to know the truth. She didn't do see? That not, oh, no, she did. I mean, you were great, Sam. That's what I meant.
All right, thanks, Sean.
It's okay. It's all right.
I just got the tap on the shoulder. It's time to tag out.
It's like, see you, buddy.
Yeah.
It's all right. We're Davis Mills. We get it. We understand. What were we talking about?
CJ.
CJ Stroud sucks. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, people don't like CJ Stroud a whole lot today.
Shocker.
This is like the ebbs and flows of sports, though. Like, quarterback plays well. He's great. Quarterback plays poorly. He's the worst. Don't give him money. It's also the ebbs and flows of a season. Texans start off 0-3. Oh, who are they going to draft in the top 10 pick? They get red hot. Oh, how deep are they going to go? We're scared of nobody in the AFC. They lose. Oh, this offense can't take them anywhere. It's the ebbs and flows of a season. That's why I think it's silly to overrate and, like, underrate one particular loss. Like, what if the Raiders had an A-plus game plan yesterday? The Texans had, like, a D-minus game plan.
Yeah.
You still win the game, and then they're, like, they're great the rest of the year. We don't remember the Raiders. Do you remember that? Like, I went and looked at the Raiders games this year. The Raiders beat first game of the season the Patriots.
Yeah.
Like, and look, I'm not saying, like, I'm not trying to put a feather in the Raiders' cap. I'm not trying to, like, excuse the Texans' poor play. Not an ugly win. Poor play. I'm not trying to excuse that. But at the same time, like, hey, you get out with a win, that's a good result. They took Jacksonville to overtime. Mm-hmm. They lost to the Broncos by 3.
Yep.
So, like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, cry about an ugly win because I don't believe in those. But at the same time, recognize that they didn't play well. And this is what the coaches are going to do. Coaches, okay, here are the areas we didn't play well. We need to fix this. That's what they do even after a win. You're always chasing perfection. But at the same time, D'Amico walked into that locker room yesterday. I could kind of see what he was thinking. I could see the wheels in motion. Because he walks into the locker room, and he's like, everybody's kind of down. And his thought, what are we sad about? This is a win. Let's go. He's trying to fire up the troops a little bit. He read the attitude in the locker room the moment that he walked in and tried to lift them.
But even though it's – yes, I'm glad he did. I saw that too. But it is funny that, like, they all are also acknowledging that they're not playing to their standard.
Sure.
Like, so, like, and D'Amico said that the last game.
And that's,
like,
good, though.
I can see why, because I see why the players are down. Like, I think your point's valid. I don't think it's making excuses for the Texans or anything like that. But because the Raiders have had a lot of competitive games this year, and you just weren't at your best. It's not the end of the world. And the CJ stuff, it just feels like this is what we're going to be doing going forward with him.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't know if we're going to get to a point where everybody is in or everybody's out with CJ. And once you pay him, it's going to get worse.
It's not unique to CJ, though.
No,
This is any quarterback on any NFL team because, A, it's the NFL, and, B, the quarterback position's the most important position in sport.
Do you feel like it was like this with Deshaun?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Deshaun was inconsistent.
It's like this with everybody.
Yeah, I feel like people were more in on Deshaun collectively.
Okay, like you're talking about the reaction to the player. I thought you meant the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Like the volume of conversation about the player.
No, yeah, I think it's like it was generally more positive.
No, I think I would agree with
that. His highs were higher.
Yeah, and I feel like his lows were lower in a lot of ways.
Well, off the field, sure.
Well, yeah.
For
sure, absolutely. But, yeah, it didn't feel as volatile with Deshaun. I felt like everyone was kind of on the same page. That when you saw something bad, we all agreed. When we saw something good, we all agreed.
See.
And now to your point, when it's... You say he's good. He's like, well, you can't call him top 5, or you need to call him top 5, not top 10. And now you need to call him top maybe 32 instead of top 10.
One of the beneficial things for Deshaun, though, was that he was in a quarterback-friendly system. He was with an offensive-minded head coach. Mm-hmm. Their defense wasn't obviously nearly as good as it currently is. So there was a lot of – the quarterback setting was better for Deshaun in terms of the volume, the stats, the public perception of him than it is about Stroud. In a lot of ways, Stroud kind of set his own bar, too. Like, he had this one of the best rookie quarterback seasons in NFL history, and it's like, okay, well, he's going to be there every single year of his career.
Yeah, we thought it was the beginning.
And then we also don't, like, factor in, well, you know, their offensive line, you know, was probably the best that Stroud has ever had. The running game was non-existent that year, so you had to throw a little bit more. The schedule was Charmin soft, so you're getting a favorable matchup every single week. And then all of a sudden, okay, first play schedule. Bad offensive line. Running game improves, so you don't need to throw as much. Defensive-minded head coach that actually brings in an offensive coordinator so to take away explosive plays and try to be more of a death-by-a-thousand field goal offense. So, like, the quarterback setting for Stroud, I actually think, has gotten worse since his rookie season, and far worse than it ever was for Deshaun.
I also never want to hear you say death by a thousand field goal.
That's what it was.
I know what it was.
It was a death by a thousand tiny Fairbairn field goals.
Can we get like a couple more touchdowns?
I mean, a few weeks ago was a death by a thousand punts. This is an improvement.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it is.
It's way better.
But and Kaimi's making them.
He makes them inside. He makes them inside against bad teams.
Well,
I might be nitpicking Kaimi because he is the first 1,000-point score in Houston Texans franchise history, by the way.
Congratulations.
The Texans have had one 1,000-point score. His name is Kaimi Fairbairn.
Put him in the Ring of Honor.
Probably should be.
That's me. It's going to take a lot of space, though.
He needs to be the next one after
John
Weeks.
Are we going to put the
full
name?
No, you can't. Take him half the state.
We got to put the full name.
No,
too much. It'd go across the entire ribbon. No, you can't do that. It's a death by a thousand. Let's talk a little bit more about the offense. If you want to get in on Stroud, you can. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe live from Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
LaBerge. Hey, we were just at LaBerge this weekend. It was an awesome time. We were watching all of the games, the college football playoffs, the NFL games on Saturday. And right now you can book their VIP fan cave section on their website. Just go to LaBerge's website, click on the sportsbook. A QR code will pop up. They'll connect you with Pedro, and you can book it for your event. They're already booking for the big events coming up fast, like the Super Bowl. They're already booked up, but you got time to get in for March Madness. You can do your 20-leg parlays. You can bet on your futures, whether it's World Series, World Cup. They're going to have action on as well. And look, they've got brand-new menu items there. If you want to be crazy, like BMAC has been in the past, you can try the Death Valley Burger. It's on the menu still. I was looking for it this weekend. I figured if I couldn't get Mapes to do the eggnog chuck contest, maybe I could give him the Death Valley Burger, but he said no to that one as well. It's always a great time. They take really good care of you. It is absolutely the place to go. And don't forget, the best part about going to LaBerge is you can bet on all of your Houston area teams. And make sure you check them out right now, LaBerge's website, and get in there today to hang out with Matt Russ and the entire crew at the Sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Someone said it looks like CJ's in for the Dak treatment. Every quarterback gets talked about. A lot. Like, you might be in a lower market or whatever. Like, they don't talk about that quarterback much. But locally, they talk about every quarterback. We might not talk a lot about Sam Darnold in Houston. But every quarterback gets talked about at a very magnified level.
Yeah, I just think there are certain quarterbacks that in their market are more generally beloved.
Sure.
Or bought into by the fan base.
Okay, yeah.
And I would guess, and obviously we can't really know this. But I would just guess of, like, the established starting quarterbacks, like, who you know are that franchise's guy, CJ has more negative perception than most, I would guess.
Yeah. You think Stroud has more negative than most?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I completely disagree. I mean, we had a call last week that said CJ Stroud was the second best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
well, I got belittled on Twitter because I said he was outside of the top five. Like, and that is a pretty... It is the minority opinion, but it is still a pretty popular opinion. For being a minority opinion, I understand that sounds like a contradiction. But if you stacked up the quarterbacks in the NFL, starting quarterbacks in the NFL 1 through 32, and like how are they viewed in their market, I don't think Stroud would be bottom half.
I think of like the established guys, he would be.
What if you looked at the, or wherever we rank Stroud? Let's say, for the sake of argument, it's 14. Top 14 quarterbacks, where does he rank them in that opinion?
Well, if Jalen Hurts is in front of him, I would imagine there's more negative about Hurts in Philly than there is Stroud in Houston.
Yeah, probably.
Love, probably similarly. Like, I think that's the category he's in. Yeah. I guess that's where we rank him.
Did you say established guys, like, at the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Not rookies, obviously. And, like, you know,
yeah,
bumps.
I think we got to cast out a third of the quarterbacks. Then again, not really part of the conversation.
I don't think there's many people who in Las Vegas are, like, very pro Geno Smith these days.
No, the worst quarterback in the league.
I felt pretty validated at times during the game. not the whole time.
You don't watch much football if you think he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. Like, he's not good. He's bottom half for sure. But look who was playing in the NFL yesterday. Quinn Ewers,
well,
Max Brosmer, Shedeur Sanders.
Well, I think when I said that, the most quarterbacks were healthy.
Quinn wasn't playing at that time.
Yeah, Quinn was the third quarter. Yeah. That's true.
Geno hasn't been benched for a rookie. What was he, seventh rounder?
Six, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. He was not good.
See? There you go.
Like, I believe, by the way, Geno and Tua tied for the league lead in interceptions thrown.
Geno's played more games.
I think, well, he missed last week, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's actually accurate or not.
Yeah, I don't know if he has played more games.
So offense yesterday, some junkie saying that Woody Marks, they just needed him. That was a loss. Although offensive line wasn't getting a whole lot of push.
Nope.
Like, I'm not sure if you put anybody behind there that you're gonna, like, Jawar Jordan had potentially a career game previous week. Yesterday he ran for 53 yards, 3.5 yards a carry. Chubb had more yards per carry than Jawar Jordan.
No, I mean, a lot of it came on one run. From Nick Chubb.
Yeah, if you get rid of that one run.
That's your gimmick.
If you get rid of that one run.
That is your gimmick.
Yeah, sure. If you get rid of that run, he only ran for 3 yards.
I mean, it's true.
It was interesting, though, to see the pecking order between those two. Because I think a lot of people assumed when it was announced that Woody was going to be out, Chubb was going to be the quote-unquote bell cow for whatever that meant for this offense. But it was the exact opposite. I know, at least in the first half.
I don't think people assumed that.
Oh, I heard a lot of that opinion, at least nationally. Maybe what you hear locally is different, but I mean, I know in the first half, I think it was 8 carries to 1, Jordan to Chubb. I can't remember exactly what it finished at, but clearly in the pecking order by the Texans coaching staff, Jawar Jordan looked at more favorably than Nick Chubb.
I thought it was going to be more like close to like the 50-50 split that we've seen between Chubb and Woody Marks. But Jawar was fine. Like, we saw what we liked last week.
He's
in
still shifty.
Small bursts, right?
Yeah, he was still shifty, but like, to Jeremy's point, like, there was too much traffic in the backfield for anyone to be consistently successful in that game.
So if you look at the snap counts, it was pretty even between Jawar and Nick Chubb. So it was totally different than the carries. Like, Chubb played, I think, like 40% of the snaps. Jawar played like 45. But when Jawar was in there, they ran the ball a lot. Like, I wonder if they don't love where Jawar's at in terms of, like, pass pro. They don't love
That's
where Jawar's
takeaway.
At. Even, like, maybe in route running. Like, I don't know.
He's not the biggest guy in the world.
No, he's very small.
So I wouldn't.
He's
ever
like 5'9", 180, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Which, and so Nick Chubb being like your main blocker in that situation, it makes sense. Where Woody Marks can probably do a little bit more of both of these things that you ask him to do.
Right.
But it was just really for the entire offense. I think this goes back to the Stroud conversation we were just having. They didn't do enough up front against the Raiders. And like, while they have Max Crosby and they have guys that can have flashes like Thomas Booker, this didn't help their offense enough. The offensive line, I thought, was just bad in yesterday's game collectively.
Yeah, also, like, by the way, like, don't ignore in victory what you win in defeat. Like, I'm a little worried that Andre Ursary's season might be done. He's got a broke, according to Aaron Wilson, which
hit rate on that one.
Low.
He missed on Woody Marks, too, by the way, last week.
Oh, did he?
He said that Woody Marks is expected to play.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
He did not
he
play.
He did not play.
Didn't dress. So maybe of all the reporters reporting it, like, we're happy that it's Aaron Wilson. No, but Aaron Wilson reported that Ursary has a broken hand. So
that would be out for the season.
That's out for the year.
That's
like,
out
even,
for the year.
Even if it's a small bone, they're going to have to cast that.
That's
and
4 to 6 weeks, like, at least.
I've never seen an offensive lineman play through the
play with a club.
A broken hands, never an offensive lineman.
Like, yeah, you see that from linebackers and defensive backs at times, but not from a lineman.
No, so then who's your left tackle?
Well, they brought in Blake Fisher.
Yeah.
And then Trent Brown went out, and then they moved Tytus Howard to right tackle, and they brought in Patterson at left guard. So, like,
I think I'd rather move Tytus to left to put Fisher, or, you know, and then mix and match the pieces after that.
I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between left tackle and right tackle. Like, I think it's slightly overrated.
Just shift around the fat guys?
No. I think the tackles are important. And I know that the whole, like, left tackle is the blind side. Yeah. Right tackle is not the blind side. I think we overrate that. I think both positions are premium positions.
I don't know if they pay it like that.
I think they do.
Left tackle and right tackle?
Yeah, they pay right tackles a lot.
A few of them, like Lane Johnson. But on average, I would not expect
that.
What
if you have a left-handed quarterback?
Sure, yeah, that changes things. But that's kind of
like it's just kind of weird.
I mean, you're shifting the goalpost.
Yeah.
The right tackle for Kansas City was their highest-paid tackle.
He was.
Like, I think it's more in vogue than you think.
It's part of because they started a rookie at left tackle.
Is that good or bad?
Well, I'm just saying a rookie is not going to be higher paid than a veteran on a second contract.
He was their highest-paid offensive lineman.
I think Juwan Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
It was him or Trey Smith were, like, their top two
guys.
Who
also got paid in the offseason, yeah.
And look, the offensive line, whether it's healthy or not, was not good yesterday. But now if these injuries are in play, it makes going forward much more challenging.
Yeah, I think it hurts them a lot.
A lot. Like, no, like, they're in.
I think we're underrating how impactful that is. Like, the conversation today, like, we're talking about Stroud. We're talking about, like, was it an ugly win? Do you believe in ugly wins? What needs to be fixed? A hot take? I think the biggest storyline today is that you might have lost 40% of a below-average offensive line, and the two losses there are significant. I think that's the biggest story today.
I mean, when we talk about the Chargers, who the Texans got coming up next, one of the biggest reasons why people say the Chargers can't make a run is because they're missing both their tackles.
Right.
And
those are good tackles.
And those are really good tackles.
Yeah.
Now the Texans are losing potentially both of their tackles. Now Titus goes back to right tackle, but we know in the interior it was better with him at guard than it was with him on the outside. Now maybe Patterson can make it work because we saw some good stuff with him before they made Trent Brown the guy. But you're still in a bad spot. I mean, I don't think anyone trusts Blake Fisher. It doesn't matter what side of the ball you play him on. Like you have that's a big problem.
It's massive. Like, you, I mean, you're looking at 40% of your offensive line being Blake Fisher and Jared Patterson. And then look, that's a dangerous place to be.
Especially with a team that wants to run the ball really well.
Yes.
Wants to do death by a thousand cuts.
Yes.
Like, you're going to be getting instant pressure when you play these good teams. And it's the worst possible time because you also only have now, you know, two games to really get this thing cooking before the playoffs.
And even if it's not instant pressure, it goes back to the running game. Like, are you moving bodies? Are you creating space?
Which they already weren't in the middle.
Yeah.
They could kind of move bodies on the outside a little bit at times. But now you're losing that, too. It's going to be a challenge for the Texans to run the ball if both your tackles are out.
I mean, you mentioned two games to figure out, Joe. If they beat the Chargers, there's a chance it's one game. If they have nothing to play for in Week 18, I mean, you might be looking at a one-game scenario to figure it out.
Yeah. It'll be – it's one of those where if the Texans season ends very quickly, it feels like this is what we're going to be looking to.
Yeah, they're starting to get a little banged up. You're banged up your offensive – you might be without two tackles. Your interior defensive line's banged up. Miles Bryant had a poor game yesterday. Like, it's starting to add up. And, like, a lot of times you can survive an injury or two, you survive an injury or three, and then all of a sudden that fourth or fifth one in the dam breaks. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little worried about that when it comes to the offensive line especially. That's something that sticks out to me. Why wouldn't the Texans have anything to play for if they beat the Chargers next week?
Because I believe the team in eighth place, the Colts would be out of it, right? The Colts are two games back.
The division couldn't be in play at all?
No, the division can still be.
Yeah.
Jacksonville
also wins next week.
But there's only one game lead, so Week 18 would still matter.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know what the tiebreaker would look like in that scenario.
Yeah. It's a common opponent. It's a divisional opponent. It's the Titans. They stink. But I think it'd still factor in.
Well, I guess that's a part of the factor that the Jaguars would be playing the Titans in Week 18.
And they play Phillip Rivers next.
Yeah, so I've already cast off the division in my mind.
But the game wouldn't be meaningless.
Totally irrelevant.
Mathematically, yes. Probability, it would be.
Right, but D'Amico's not going to, like, rest starters.
No, you're right. He should. But
well, you're also going to be – I mean, your playoff seeding is going to factor in big time here. If you beat the Chargers, you're going to jump up to –
you'll pass the Chargers.
You're the 5 seed. Potentially.
Yeah.
If Buffalo were to lose.
Yeah, because Buffalo would have to lose the game also.
But, like, you could let the 5 seeds
you could
play,
move up to the 6 by beating the Chargers.
Yeah, so, like, the last week
and avoid a trip to New England?
It's not going to be – yeah, it's not going to be a win-or-go-home kind of game at the end of the season.
Matters.
But it's going to matter in some capacity for the Texans.
The Texans were one offensive play caller away from having a good game yesterday. Let's have the Kaylee conversation. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe live from Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You looking to escape the rat race for the weekend? The hustle and bustle of the job, traffic, whatever's causing you stress? I have the best idea for you. It's Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book that stay right now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. They have the open green spaces for you. They got the wildlife, beautiful nature out there. It's gorgeous. Loved when we went out there. We had a great time. It's only an hour and a half away from Houston there as well. You're there in a hurry. You're there quick. You're not wasting your time in an airport. You're not wasting your time in the car. You're there in an hour and a half. Escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Hike on their acres of property. They got some beautiful water down there that you can kayak on. Pickleball courts, if that's your thing. And they got it all, too. If you have an RV, well, take out the RV. They have the perfect RV hookup spots. We stayed in the treehouse when we went at the beginning of summer. It was fantastic. Kids loved it. They got the glamping for you. They have the cabins for you as well. And from now through February, you can get 40% off all cabin rentals, 20% off nightly RV stays with their 40-20 discount. Perfect for everybody who loves the beautiful outdoors. Also, find them on social media, Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Always doing some giveaways, and you may even get a free stay. So book your stay now, TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
BJ's Wholesale Club makes holiday hosting so easy, we called in the ultimate host to talk about it.
Mrs. Claus here. You think Santa has it tough delivering all over the world?
Try cooking for hundreds of elves.
Good thing BJ's offers low prices on all the menu must-haves, plus free same-day delivery on your first order of $100 or more. No more squeezing in trips to the store. The only squeezing here is the big guy into a suit after dinner.
For terms, visit BJ's.com/holiday and get the same great prices online as in-club.
Did you know a lithium-ion battery fire can spread in seconds? The devices we carry every day, in our pockets and onto planes and trains, can pose serious risks to yourself and those around you if not handled correctly. Keep all battery-powered devices like phones, tablets, headphones, chargers where you can see them, and look out for warning signs like overheating, swelling, or strange smells. Now that you know the signs, you can take charge of battery safety. Visit batteryfiresafety.org to learn more.
As our 76th year in business begins, our mission hasn't changed. We're family taking care of families. At Sears Heating and Cooling, we're not plumbers or electricians. Nope, we're Central Ohio's heating experts. If you've been told you need a new furnace or have a bad heat exchanger, call for a free second opinion. You'd be stunned at how often we run these calls and nothing is wrong. Sears Heating and Cooling. Honest advice, fair pricing, and locally owned for almost 8 decades. SearsHeatingCooling.com.